Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning. Welcome back to True Line Talks, everybody.
Yes, Rachel and I are a little goofy today, a little bit goofy. We just want to laugh and have a good day. Yeah.
Yeah. Our last podcast together for an unknown amount of time because I'm going on maternity leave. So we're just having some fun together.
Yeah. And she'll let me know when the baby will allow her to do another podcast.
100%. Yes.
In our last podcast, we talked about the superpowers of the anxious pursuer. And today we're going to talk about the superpowers of the avoidant attachment
Yes.
style.
Yes. And so some phrases that we're going to use interchangeably to talk about this attachment style are going to be dismissive, avoidant, or withdrawers. Those are all synonymous.
Thank you for clarifying.
Sure.
So, I tend to be the anxious pursuer in relationship, and Charles tends to be the avoidant withdrawer.
There's usually
When
one of each in most relationships. That's kind of like a yin and yang that we notice with working with couples.
yin yang, and I'm a Libra, I like the balance there. Yeah. And so, when we have a negative interaction, I'm constantly pursuing and talking and texting and calling. And he's over there avoiding and detached in YouTube world or on his mini plants. And on the surface, to the person who's pursuing the avoidant, it looks like they're being ignored in
Sure.
the relationship.
Yeah. Looks like that person doesn't care. They're being aloof and just going about their day as if nothing's happening.
And when he does that, it sort of makes me simmer down a little bit. I'll escalate and protest and be angry and yell sometimes. But then sometimes I'm like, this doesn't work for him because he's an avoidant. And that's
Yeah.
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once you learn that about your partner, like that it's not about them not caring, that it's just about them needing time and space to process before they feel safe enough to have a conversation, you can like get more comfortable with giving them that space they need, huh? And understanding it. Yeah. Yeah. I just feel like since we're doing these two podcasts, maybe it's important to point out that your attachment style is not how you engage with the world like all day, every day, 24/7. It's not your personality.
No.
This your attachment style shows up in relationships with family, friends, or a romantic partner when there is conflict or tension or some form of disconnection. That's when you're going to notice it the most. Okay, so don't get like, as we're talking about this kind of like dismissive, avoidant, withdrawer attachment style, don't get that confused with someone who is like shy or an introvert. Because you can have a lot of friends and be a very social person, but also have an avoidant attachment style. Does that make sense?
Great clarity, Rachel. Good job. That's so true. So you can be a quiet type with in social settings, like kind of hide in the corner and just be at a party and notice things that are happening because you're an introvert. When you're in a relationship, you may display an anxious pursuer where you pursue the other person.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think it's important not to get attachment style confused with personality, introvert, extrovert, those kinds of things. Yeah.
So one of the positives that I notice about the avoidant attachment style is they'll disengage when the anxious pursuer's protest is escalating. And that disengagement may cause the attachment, panic, primal panic show up more in the anxious pursuer, but the disengagement can keep the toxic interaction from blowing up.
Yeah, they're very good at like not rocking the boat, so to speak, right? Like, if we see someone, I tend to, in times of like pressure, lean more towards this like a dismissive avoidant style. So I can speak from personal experience a little bit. It's like, I'm gonna give you space because that's what I want. I want space, so I'm gonna assume you want space too, especially if you're getting loud. Right, or you're seeming upset, right? Like this dismissive, avoidant attachment style is good at giving people space, letting that bubbling pot simmer down. Yeah. That's our goal anyway.
And is the goal of the avoidant attachment to protect the relationship by disengagement?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like, I don't want to say anything that's going to make this worse. I don't want to do anything that's going to make this worse because I know whatever I say or do can't be taken back. And that can be hurtful for a long time. So sometimes it's better to, like, I don't know, play possum, so to speak, and do nothing than do something that could, like, stoke the fire and get things activated. Yeah.
So for the anxious pursuer, when the avoidant is disengaged and gone quiet or playing possum, they're like, oh my gosh, you don't care about me. Where are you? How come you're not responding to me? And what the anxious pursuer doesn't know is that they're trying to calm it down to make it safe for them to reach.
Absolutely. Yeah. What's happening is we care so much and we want to get it right every time that when we feel like we're not getting it right, that is just such a helpless, stuck place to be. And so, in order to self-soothe, right? So I don't feel like a failure, like I'm not good enough, I got to move away for a little bit. Right, to reset before I can re-engage.
So the avoidance style, they're like feeling, do they have a lot of feelings of inadequacy in the relationship? Is that what you're sharing, Rachel?
I think so. All right, I think it's like, yeah, worrying about being criticized or rejected. Yeah, not measuring up. Yeah, which is where I think the for the most part this attachment style stems from. It's like if you're a child and you really want to feel accepted, you really want to get praise from people, you're afraid of criticism or rejection, and you're going to learn to detach and hide certain emotions to avoid that criticism or sense of rejection. And this is perceived, right? Like, yeah.
So
No.
their so their experience in their inner child from growing up is that the parent is being distant from them because they didn't do it right. Is that the child's experience in that scenario, you think?
Sure, or like perceiving that adults or caregivers are judging you as being maybe like emotionally over dramatic or trying to get attention or what have you. I'm an oldest child, so my assumption is when my little sister came along, I needed attention, and people thought that I was just like, being a little greedy for attention, right? So they told me, you'll be quiet, go over there, play with your toys, right? Like we have to bond with the baby, right? And so I kind of learned, like, okay, well, I'm just gonna go entertain myself, play with myself, right?
Yeah, thanks for sharing that part. And Charlie is the oldest too. That makes sense that you would have to not, even if you did make a protest, they're caring for the little one. So
Right.
you would go self-entertain and regulate your own emotions. Yeah. Yeah. And then the anxious pursuer is like, oh, let me invite you back in. I would like you to come on over and let's talk. Whereas you're like, well, hey, I've got this. I've done this all my life of being my own regulator here.
Yeah, like I've learned how to be self-sufficient, self-reliant, right?
Yeah. So that's self-sufficiency. How's that your superpower in life, you think, Rachel?
Yes, I think like in a work environment, it definitely increases efficiency. Like you don't need a lot of help. You don't need to a lot of emotional support or encouragement. You're just like kind of know what needs done and you get it done, right? Like so.
She does. And
Yeah.
she does.
In the past when I've worked in environments that had like, more coworkers and social settings. I wasn't one to like waste a lot of time socializing. I don't think that I was rude, hopefully not. If I was and any previous coworkers are listening to this, I apologize. It wasn't my intention, but you just get focused on the job and you're just like getting stuff done, checking boxes.
Self-reliant, self-motivated. And I can vouch for that. Rachel has never needed anything from me, as far as I could tell, and this whole process has been marvelous. It's probably why we click so well, because she's the oldest and I was the youngest. Then I got debunked from my position and became the middle child at age 14. So, but I'm used to the oldest child, yeah, being in the leadership role, like you do, like my sister does. You all take the lead and you just self-regulate.
Yeah, task oriented. We kind of thrive in a high stress environment. Lots of people in the military, first responders, police, EMS, firefighters, lots of those folks, lawyers are this attachment style because they have the ability to compartmentalize and not let their emotions get in the way of their decisions. We can think very logically and rationally. Under pressure.
Wow. Yeah, that makes sense, Rachel, because Charlie's in the military and he looks at a system and can just get it done. Whereas, the anxious pursuer, we're like, oh, how does that make them feel? Well, what about if I
What's
make this move?
everybody's opinion, right?
Yeah, what think about this?
Yeah.
Yeah, like let's check it out.
To make sure we're all on the same page on how we feel here, right? That would be the more anxious pursuer, but the dismissive avoidance, like, okay, this is going to be our safest, most efficient, direct route. This is how we're going to get it done. We'll process feelings later, maybe.
Or not ever
Or
revisit.
not.
I know, because the avoidants are good about like, okay, that happened, let's move on.
Yeah, a lot of them put it. I mean, obviously, I'm a therapist, so I value emotional vulnerability and connection, which is very different from most avoidance. It's really scary, right, for most avoidantly attached folks. So, a lot of them kind of put things in a box or a jar and put that away. Yeah, that's what feels safest.
Are they like you avoid it as an avoidant attachment style? Do you suppress any emotions that you're feeling? I'm not sure.
I think it is easier for myself as someone who tends to lean more avoidant. I think it's easier to like put that on the back burner and do what I need to do right here, right now in the moment. Right. But then I've learned to like go back and pick that back up, if that makes sense. Like
Right.
when I'm by myself and I have a moment to process, like journal or meditate, I can go back and be like, okay, what was happening there? What was that about? And kind of
Yeah.
work through it.
That is a superpower for the, like you said, the emergency responders there. As long as they come back to it and
Right.
process that in a safe environment. Yeah. Cool. What other superpowers do you have?
Yeah, I think we have the ability to, we can give people a lot of space. We're not priors. We're going to respect your boundaries, right? Which honestly, it sometimes that's a superpower. Other times I have to pay attention to that, especially in the work that I do. Sometimes I need to hold people's feet to the fire, so to speak, as their therapist. But if I'm getting a lot of blocks coming up in a session, I have a tendency to want to respect that and back off and kind of change topic and moved on to something else. So that's something I've noticed I have to pay a lot of attention to in the work that we do.
Yeah, when you say hold feet to the fire, can you share with our listeners what you mean by that?
Absolutely. Yeah, like really lean in to someone's anger. That's the biggest one for me. If
Oh,
someone's
yeah.
expressing anger, really leaning in and getting curious about that, right? And not letting them use that to avoid sadness or fear or whatever might be lying under the surface of that anger. So when I say I hold their feet to the fire, it's like we're gonna stay on this emotion. I'm not gonna let you move away from it, right? And we're gonna get deeper and deeper here and see what's really going on under the surface.
That's great that you've learned that about your how you approach it and don't move away from it as a therapist. That's very
I used to
intuitive.
move away all the time. Be like, oh, you're angry. I'm touching a sensitive spot. Ooh, let me respect that boundary. Moving on. Talking about something else.
Right? Whereas I'm like, hey, what's going on? You're angry. Tell me what's underneath the anger.
Right.
Tell me more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
the
feel
anxious pursuer is more like moth to a flame in
yeah.
those emotional moments, whereas like the avoidant, we're more like, oh, okay, that's a touchy spot. Let me give you some space. I respect that, right? I'm not gonna probe. I'm not gonna pry. You deserve your privacy. It's out of
Yeah.
respect. Yeah.
Lots of regard and respect and boundaries. Yeah. That's pretty cool. I like that superpower. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, which
Yeah.
is where I think we mentioned this with the previous attachment style we talked about, the anxious pursuer. I think it's important to mention it here too. I think dismissive, avoidant, or withdrawers sometimes are perceived as narcissists as well because they
Oh.
tend to have more self-confidence. Like they know their strengths, they know what they're bringing to the table and what they have to offer. They also know their weaknesses. But I think it's like people perceive the space that they're giving out of respect and empathy as a lack of empathy, right? Like because we don't move in closer to emotion, we tend to back away. I think sometimes people see that as like having a big ego or not having empathy.
Yeah. And certainly the motive behind the behavior is what we do, right? We dig in to find out what made you pull away in that moment. Well, I felt scared that I would say something unkind.
Right.
Well, narcissists could care less, right? They would like deal with it.
Yes. Yeah, so it's actually the dismissive attachment style. It has a lot of empathy, a lot of empathy. We just don't want to make things worse. So
Yeah. Well said. That's great. Yeah. What other superpowers does the avoidant attachment style have?
This is, if this is your friend or partner or family member, they are great to go to for practical advice. If you genuinely want to know what do I do in this situation and you're looking for a logical response, this is your go-to person. If you're
Yeah.
looking for validation and someone to just really relate to you emotionally, you want to go to a pursuer. But
Go to the pursuer.
yeah.
Yeah. And I'll validate and encourage as much as possible. And Rachel will respect your space and boundaries. All good things. And I have a zit, so if anyone noticed it, I had to
No one can see
attend
it,
to it.
I promise.
No one make fun of my acne today. You know, hormones.
Ugh, lovely things.
They are, aren't they?
Yeah.
I like the avoidant attachment style because, you know, they'll give you the floor too. You guys are cool about giving us protesters the floor, the dance floor. Let us
Yeah.
lead.
Yeah. We love that.
Yeah, so they're good about deferring, long as they revisit, like Rachel said, come back and revisit what they really felt in those moments of conflict with their partner. Yeah.
Yeah. Biggest thing I think if we're looking at both would be
Yeah.
for the avoidant attachment style to learn and accept co-regulation, help from that partner, right? And for the preoccupied, right, anxious, preoccupied attachment style to learn a little self-regulation. Yeah.
Yeah, that's well stated. Sometimes the anxious pursuer needs to go outside, go for a walk, and just sort of get through some of the emote, you know, and pray and tell God how angry they are, and just, you know, get that out there.
Yeah. So it's like we really need to learn some skills from each other, which I
Yeah.
think is cool, right? So if we can learn to respect and appreciate what each other does, we can learn from one another and become better team.
Yeah. All in the pursuit of creating a secure bond.
Yes, that is the goal.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Can you tell me if we have any more we need to review there, Rachel, or?
I think we pretty much covered it all, like calm, cool, and collected in a crisis, respects boundaries, they're not going to push people to share, confident in their strengths and weaknesses, know what they have to offer, great for practical advice. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Yeah, good deal.
Strengths that can be applied to a lot of careers. A lot of relationships, I think.
Well, thank you for being you, Rachel.
Thanks. Likewise. Thanks for being you.
Well, we are going to we will have other podcasts come out whenever Miss Rachel is available. So just be patient with us as she creates the secure attachment with baby Archie. Yeah. So excited.
Looking
Yeah.
forward to it. Yes, but I'll be glad and looking forward to getting back on here with Truvine Talks and sharing some more wisdom education with folks. We hope it's helpful and we love that we have so many listeners supporting us.
Yeah, we appreciate you listeners so much. Thank you.
All righty, till next time.
Bye.
Bye.